On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
All the way over to LA to see Fabian Fanboy, but no, he's right here. He's come back to. Oh, look, I love Fabian Fanboy. Hey!
Hey, man.
Here we are, confrontational face to face.
In person, changing the dynamic, looking you in the eye.
Jet setting guy, you're back from LA.
Yeah, I missed the ozone hole. Needed a sunburn, so I came down and got one really quickly.
Awesome. Well, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Can we get the music turned down in the background there?
Hello. There we go,
so we can have a good hard chat. How are you, friend?
Yeah, really good, thanks. It's nice to see you. This is an exciting in-store event thing. I've just been checking out the new Real Groovy, kind of cool in there.
There's so much to see and do, and so many wonderful treats and fancies in there.
Tangible physical media, gotta love it.
Have you been to the vinyl bit?
No.
That'll be you. You get stuck.
Okay.
You're stuck, you have to buy some time down there. But let's talk about movies, because that's what you're here to do. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Have you been to any good movies lately, and what's the one we want to talk about tonight?
Well, there's one big movie this week, and you've seen it. That's a turnout for the books. Well, there's a ticket taker going, Mikey, you're at the movies. What's happening?
My brother, who I share a deep love of Star Wars with, said to me, well, it's time. We've got to go.
Okay.
And we headed out to an interesting cinema. And took it in the 3D, not in the IMAX or whatever. It was just a 3D screen, which I kind of find is a little dim, I've decided. 3D.
I'm not a huge 3D guy.
But really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed The Last Jedi.
I did too. And I was someone who was not a big fan of The Force Awakens. It's not an original reaction, but I felt that was a course correction movie. It was about showing the audience that, no, we're not going to freak you out like the prequels did. We're going to kind of give you a very familiar experience with familiar dynamics and character relationships and settings. And I was like, come on, at least the prequels gave us something new every time and stuff like that. But it was kind of good that it was a success and got everyone back on board.
Yep.
So this was the opportunity to do something weird and cool. And it's not the weirdest film of all time, but they definitely push the series forward, and they do stuff we've never seen before. And it's got kind of the dramatic impetus is new. And what's driving the plot is kind of a new idea and this new it's just a lot of newness.
A little bit more, they become a little bit more, they've expanded out that solid humor, which has worked so well in the past. They've taken it a little bit further, which could have been risky, but it's worked.
I like the humor film. Mark Hamill has got some comedic timing there that he doesn't get to dish out a huge amount.
He's in a lot of movies, isn't he?
He's great.
Considering he was only in the last bit of the last one, you know?
For people like you and I, for whom Luke Skywalker is the man, it was kind of wonderful to see him.
Han Solo was always the man, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Like, Luke's the guy who's been, you know, he's the chosen one, you know, but
Han Solo was cooler.
If you're playing in a car and you're pretending it's a Millennium Falcon, you don't want to be Luke Skywalker.
Well, look, I was always Paul over John. Luke over Han. I'll pick the less cool one. I identified with the less cool one.
We should have played when we were kids. That would have been awesome.
We wouldn't have all been fighting to be Han Solo.
Yeah. Hutch or something.
I love the way Luke Skywalker's storyline played out. They undercut his mythos a little bit, but they also leaned into it, and he got to do some pretty cool stuff. You know, the brush the dirt off your shoulders moment, pretty amazing.
That whole moment's pretty amazing.
And sort of this thing where there's these characters kind of communicating across the galaxy, I thought that dynamic, it's sort of difficult to talk about without spoiling too much, because it's obviously still opening day was yesterday, so most people have probably already seen it, but not everyone. And Porgs, I like the Porgs. Porgs, potentially controversial creatures, these little wide-eyed poultry things.
Semi-Ewok.
Yeah,
I see me like a slightly less like the way if the Ewoks were what the hell are these things? They're a bit more sort of these are nice. Nesting in the Millennium Falcon.
To further reveal my lack of coolness, I always kind of like the Ewoks too.
Apart from the song.
They were skilled tribesmen and musicians,
and they were fearless as well.
Yes.
Fearless with their little black eyes.
Yeah, and there's some cool moments in this film and some
there's
action.
There's some really, really cool moments.
The opening space battle, I thought, was one of the best things I've ever seen in a Star Wars film ever.
But kept true to the original style? You know?
Yeah. And felt like it was taking a few risks here and there, a few genuine surprises, a few things and or people show up, and you're like, ooh.
What did you think of Snoke? Is it Spoke or Snoke?
Snoke. I got a distinct Jeremy Irons vibe off him this time, and I kind of liked it.
There's a lot of character to him, though, eh?
Yeah, he had so many close-ups.
He's like the badass of the most badasses, just for people who don't know the story.
But. And the CGI was better on him this time, I thought.
Yeah, totally.
And Andy Serkis. I felt like he was sort of channeling some of...
I lost you. We lost you there.
Oh, you lost me?
Me too. Must be that thing.
Yes, we did.
It still sounds fine.
We're just
lost. Oh, shit.
Hello.
Can you hear us on the radio?
I credit.
Can they hear us on the radio?
Supreme Leader Snoke heard us talking about him.
Yeah, okay, right. We always can't hear myself.
And
all right.
He was not happy.
All right, okay. Hello. So, Trevor, we're right there.
Yeah. So, did you find it like a nostalgic experience or an interesting new experience?
Not as much as the last ones.
Yeah, well, that's what's cool about it, right?
More interesting, and you know, they didn't C-3PO. Thank God, C-3PO, who was such a dick in the last one, and pointless, and it's still such a dick. But I mean, he sort of played his role a bit better. You know?
Yeah. I like the C-3PO moments. Yeah.
He doesn't get a lot of talk to C-3POs, you know.
It's pretty brutal. The Princess Leia moments. I mean, General Leia Organa.
Without being spoiled, I mean, the actress, of course.
There's no spoiler that she died last year.
She died last year. It's a lot of emotion around her in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, almost, you know, not preempting it, but they certainly haven't cut anything out to make it less emotional.
No, and I thought it was interesting. Carrie Fisher's daughter, Billy Lord, had a sort of a small role in The Force Awakens, and she's got a more prominent role here, and she's in lots of scenes with Leia, and that's even more brutal. It's like, oh man, imagine what it's like for her watching it. So that was very sad. A nice dedication to Carrie Fisher at the end there.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
No.
After the initial credit run, they say in memory of our princess,
I had a breakfast show
Carrie
in the morning.
Fisher.
Oh.
And I think. It's exciting. You know this guy, Rian Johnson, who made this film, he's been announced to be making his own Star Wars trilogy that he's going to write and direct. It's pretty exciting, right?
Like a trilogy?
Yeah.
Can have a trilogy of one of the greatest types of movies ever.
Yeah, and it's unclear if it's going to be like a family saga or... But you can see why Kathleen Kennedy saw The Last Jedi and was like, okay, I'm handing the keys to this guy.
Yeah,
I feel like it's the franchise is in good hands again, and it's not just about looking back, but about looking forward, and he brought balance to the Force.
Yes, he did bring balance to the Force. That's true, though. And you know what? We learn a lot more about the Force, don't we, in this one?
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool, actually, that bit.
Yeah. Now, to reveal the true depth of my nerdery, I'm a big fan of Star Wars Rebels, which is the CGI cartoon.
Yep.
And they delve into a lot of Force stuff that I always thought the film should do a bit more. And I sensed a bit of that in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I felt it around me. It surrounds us and penetrates us.
In between things. Yeah.
And so that was cool. But JJ's doing the next one, part 3.
Adam Driver's looking really buff too. I wanted to mention that.
Oh, he was great. Hey?
He was really, really good in this one. Really good. Yeah, he really filled in all the gaps that he perhaps didn't fill in those other times. And he got rid of that dump.
He seemed a bit petulant last time, and now he's like a fully fledged character,
which I thought was really cool. Rotten.
Yeah.
Rotten.
But it seems like we both loved it.
We did both love it. Yay!
And high five.
High five.
And how's everything going down here?
Good. Nice to have you back.
Thank you
very much, Fabian. You can come and just join us for the rest of the morning if you like.
I might hang out for a bit.
Yeah. If you want to come and meet Fabian Fanboy and anyone else here, real groovy down with the Breakfast Club, sort of carry on. We've got at the moment we've got staff, customers, and of course BFMers and punters and two bands. And I mean it's quite good. I mean it's fried
muffins and everything.
And there's Bridge over there. He's living beyond his means, obviously. You're living beyond your means, Bridge. What? You're living beyond your means, Brent.
Radio joke. Yeah. All right, cool. Thanks, mate. Cheers, thank you very much.
Choice, cheers.
Cheers. Love you, mate. Bye-bye.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.